The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 236. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside He Only Does Everything, Colin Moriarty. Okay. And the Dark Knight of News, Andrew Goldfarb.
Back again.
Nick, the Scottish guy, writes in, says, "Hey, guys, just a suggestion, but I think yous should take on Andrew Goldfarb as a fourth member. The four of yous make an excellent, awesome team, and the banter, and then parentheses, laughter, would be nonstop. Cheers, and keep up the good work. Nick, the Scottish guy."
Sounds like he's like straight out of The Godfather or something with his flagrant
the Scottish
use of the
guy.
Use.
A lot of yous in there.
Thank you, Nick. Check is in the mail.
All right. Well, Colin will take it under consideration.
By the way, write in beyond@ign.com if you know what the source of one of mine and Greg's favorite quotes, "Now yous can't leave," comes from. Just write us in and let us know.
All right. Write in if you want Goldfarb to be a permanent member too, the fourth member. It's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure. I don't know if he's up to
it. Jim Riley got broken. He wasn't even on here that much. Broke him. His final podcast. Podcast Beyond.
Info Boy just got upset a lot about things.
Yeah, mainly how awesome the PlayStation is, am I right?
Yeah,
high five.
So good.
We're the PlayStation Podcast. We're on IGN.com. Number one PlayStation Podcast for some reason. How you guys doing?
I'm all right.
Not much happening in the world of PlayStation this week. Not much to talk about.
Nothing at all.
No.
I had a good week.
Yeah? What'd you do?
Just hung out.
Yeah?
I didn't...
I was going to tweet this message last night, Colin.
We
were joking around, of course, ladies and gentlemen. Huge week in PlayStation news. God of War Ascension announced. The news broke last night. I was all pissed off writing a story because
we can knock that one off the Roper Report.
We're getting to it. Well, it's a conversational podcast, if you don't forget. Stop knocking it off. We're just giving them the lay of the land. So I'm working on this story, and this is the text message I get from Andrew Goldfarb at 11:09. I talked myself out of tweeting it because I didn't want to show it to everybody on Twitter, but I think on a podcast it makes more sense.
Okay.
This is Andrew Goldfarb, 11:09. Drunk, but still edited a typo in God F War storybook. That's how I told. Because that's what you want. Someone can't get through a sentence in text telling you they went into your story and edited a typo.
To be fair, I was walking while I wrote that message.
You were walking when you edited the typo as well.
I was, yeah.
All right. Well, then we've now seen your percentile on how that goes.
Yep.
Good times.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's get right into it then with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Colin, how many items are on the Roper Report this
12,
week?
12 items.
12, a dozen, they would say.
A dozen, a straight dozen.
A straight dozen. Give me that straight dozen.
Give me that straight dozen.
Number one is...
Number one, Sony has finally revealed God of War 4, but it's not called God of War 4. Rather, it's called God of War Ascension and is scheduled to come to the PlayStation 3 in the spring of 2013. All we have so far to work with is a minute-long teaser trailer with no gameplay that ambiguously sets the game's story up. Sounds like a prequel.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys about this. This is like the second or third time I've heard you say they announced God of War 4, but it's not called God of War 4. Can we really say that? Because it's like the sixth God of War game.
It's the seventh technically, but
But it's the fourth one that's like the main franchise, right?
Okay.
Like you figure there was the two PS2 ones, the one PS3 one, and now this.
So you mean because Santa Monica, rather than like Ready at Dawn or whoever did the mobile one?
Exactly. It's still that. I mean,
don't get me wrong, it's God of War 4 on PlayStation 4 kind of rolls off the tongue, right? And so yeah. I'm sure that's in the works or in a planning doc somewhere. But I think this is just worthwhile because for so many months now, we've been saying, oh, God of War 4, is it in the works? Rumors, yada, yada, yada. And so the headline of the story is God of War 4 is God of War Ascension. Not because it literally is, but because for months we've been writing news stories about, oh, God of War is on this guy's resume, on the next, you know, blah, 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 and this would be what we've been talking about.
Okay.
I still think there'll be a real God of War 4 one day. I just think, or they'll reboot the franchise or whatever, but Ascension is what we've been talking about forever.
What's interesting to me, and I kind of just made this connection right this second.
I don't believe it.
Is that a lot of the God of War 4 chatter had been coming from people's, like, you know, LinkedIn accounts or whatever the fuck, you know, resumes or whatever they're putting on the internet, saying God of War 4.
Yep.
Which indicates that the game was not always called God of War Ascension. And I wonder, you know, unless like internally it was just known as God of War 4 or something. I guess what I'm saying is people have been promoting working on this game like accidentally, I guess, as God of War 4, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that it wasn't. I could, you know, I don't know.
Maybe they've been working on it and they woke up this morning and they saw that trailer and they're like, wait, what?
Fuck?
This isn't the game I worked on.
Yeah.
So let's have some real talk here about it.
Okay.
So trailer, no gameplay, as you said. A lot of people were talking. We put up a video last night along with the trailer, saying, which is me and Colin discussing the trailer, hypothesizing on it. It sounds like it's set before Kratos is like the Kratos we know, so maybe he's leading the Spartan army. Today, more stuff leaks out through the PlayStation.com website. Basically, the text is, you know, before he was a god, he was just a man or something like that. So it's going with our thing. But then a lot of kids were saying, interestingly, in the comments, you know, how I call out in our conversation about how Gaia is saying that, you know, no longer bound by blood, you know what I mean? And he's broken the blood oath and stuff, making it sound more like it's after in some respect, right? Like something's already happened or whatever. Because she's very clear in the beginning, before the rage, before whatever the other thing is before. And then she says, but, you know, with all this, he's got the, you know, before, and then it's just when he breaks the bond of power and yada, yada. Some people were hypothesizing, interestingly, that it might be jumping around in time. That maybe it happens after, some of it happens afterwards, some of it jumps back to the beginning. You
know? I don't know about that. It's called Ascension.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like it's almost obvious what it's about. I mean, maybe that's intentional. And some of these, like, things could just be red herrings.
You know? You ready to have your mind blown?
Sure.
Here's Greg Miller's pitch on Ascension, based on what we just had, not anything else. Game opens. You beat God of War 3, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
That's the only one I didn't beat.
Spoilers, revised spoilers.
I don't really get it. The story's irrelevant.
I meant for the kids out there.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And if you're a new listener, I call everybody kids. Get off your fucking horse. I know you're 30 years old and you got debt.
Go stab yourself.
And you got debt.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do. I got three kids and a mortgage. I ain't no kid. Get right, out of here, you jackass. Blow your mind. Game opens where God of 3 left off, which is Kratos stabbed, bleeding to death. So then he thinks back on his life, relives all this stuff, then jump back to the present, he dies and ascends to the heavens.
Huh.
Oh.
There you go. Take that one to the bank, just like my 450-year-old Catherine Marlowe article.
It's too reliant on having played the previous game, though.
If you open up and you're bleeding to death, I think it's pretty odd. You know.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like the other games didn't connect quite that intimately.
Yeah, and look how they did. Poorly.
Oh, yeah, they were fucking huge busts.
Big old turds out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of game it's even going to be. And,
yeah.
I'm interested to see more. Interesting that Sony's own website now says that it's coming out spring of 2013 to make room, of course, for The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
It's my theory.
Naughty Dog. So real quick before we go to... I'm sorry. You
guys, right, I was going to say that's the opposite of what I said last week on Podcast Beyond.
Oh, so snap, son.
That was somebody. That was Ryan Clements.
Okay,
me.
Yeah, don't worry. This won't affect your application to be a member of Podcast Beyond. Forgot where I was going. Fuck. Where was I going with it? God of War. Oh, I got tipped off to the God of War thing being leaked out early. We knew God of War was getting announced. Originally, it was going to be announced later. It was like going to be the next day. Like we were waking up for...
That's why our video was
exactly
ready to go.
We didn't come. A lot of people thought we came back to the office and filmed that night. No, that video just got... embargo time pushed up because Amazon put it on their website. I don't know by accident or how any of that works or whatever. However, we found out about that, or I found out about it, and the reason I was able to get my story up soon and get the videos up so soon is because one of you eagle-eyed readers noticed it or saw someone else reporting on it and pinged me on Twitter at Game Over Greggy, and so I was able to go do that. Remember, a lot of people have been doing this lately, you know, and then saying, oh, well, I saw this and that, and, you know, we reported the other day about how the God of War teaser image is called God of War Tease, and somebody was like, I told you that, and it was like, they didn't expressly tell me what it was, they just sent me a link, and so that looks like spam, and I'm not going to do that. Anytime you have something, feel free to at Game Over Greggy, at No Taxation, let us know that you're seeing something for us to go investigate, but don't be afraid to follow it up with a, hey, this is why I'm sending it, or even, hey, I sent a news tip to beyond@IGN.com, something like that, because, you know, It's all part of a conversation. We want to help you out, and we'll definitely give you credit in the articles when it happens.
Yeah, one of the biggest stories we wrote this week was, I'm sorry, I don't remember the reader's name, but he's a dude we talk to often on Twitter or whatever, and he is a South African reader, and he sent me a picture of God of War 4 placeholders on BT Games is a South African games retailer. Like, they were taking pre-orders, and they had boxes using fan-made logo or whatever.
Yeah.
But obviously they knew the game existed or whatever, and he sent me a picture, and it, you know, I made him internet famous.
Yeah,
so
that.
And it makes it the third or fourth time BT Games has been right, these people.
Yeah, everyone's like, this is bull, you know, some, well, not everyone, but some people in the comments were like, this is bullshit, this is a stupid rumor or whatever. It's like, no, like, these guys actually blow up everything because they just don't care. No discipline.
They don't care. Yeah.
And maybe this nothing these, you know, my theory is that there's really nothing maybe that Sony and other companies can do, because that might be the only games retailer in that segment, and they still need to sell their games there. Anyway, number two. Contrary to earlier reports and rumors, Bethesda has not canceled Human Head Studios' upcoming game, Prey 2. However, they have said that it's not coming out in 2012 as previously planned. Quote, the delay is due to the fact that game development has not progressed satisfactorily over the past year, and the game does not currently meet our quality standards.
So they haven't canceled it. It's just bad. Yeah. So take comfort in that.
This year.
Continuing the quote, Prey 2 has shown great promise, and we regret disappointing our fans. We have made a substantial investment in game development to deliver the experience fans want. We are determined only to release the AAA game that fans rightfully expect, and are unwilling to compromise our quality standards to meet a release schedule. I actually quite respect that stance. And it's really, you know, I was telling Casey and some other people that's really surprising that game's not coming along, because when Charles and I went to Utah last year, over a year ago now, to see it, and we saw, that's when Skyrim was announced and other games like that no one cared about, like Brink was there, but everyone was walking away being like, yeah, Skyrim looks dope, we know that game's gonna be dope, but holy shit, Prey 2 looks really, really good. And I remember the demo they played for us. It's like a really long demo. It looked amazing. It's really hard to believe that the Human Head somehow dropped the ball on this game and it's not coming out.
And that's the rumor right now, is that Human Head's not on it anymore. And by the time we're listening to this podcast, go to IGN.com, maybe we'll have a statement from them.
Metal Gear Solid style.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the theory, exactly. Like, this rumor has been going around that this game was canceled. Like, maybe it's for vengeance all over again. Maybe it was canceled and now a different developer is just on it.
They would just scrap it at that point, I think. Well, I mean, Prey has no cachet with anyone.
It doesn't. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's been proven, or not proven, but anyway, there's been studies done that games with a 2 behind them do better than a new IP. Because people are like, oh, well, it's good enough for
But it's
two.
Not Metal Gear, you know? It's like, I just feel like you would assume they dumped games in development for a couple years. I don't know how big Human Head Studio is. $50 million into the game, maybe? And then they're just going to scrap it and then work on it again. I don't know about that.
I mean, it's something about saving face, too, that we're invested in this product. We've chose you, Prey 2. Everyone wrote about Prey 2, how good it was. It happened at Judges Week, too. I was at Judges Week. We all saw it. Everybody walked away like, holy shit, what they kept saying, it was like, it's like Mass Effect meets Deuce X and all this. They said Deus, but Deuce.
I don't know. I'm interested to see who's developing. I kind of feel like Bethesda might be finishing it by themselves. Okay, who else do you just contract that out to? I mean, that's
or maybe it is still Human Head. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. They haven't. Yeah, if that's commented,
true, you're speculating.
Number three, Toe Jam and Earl creator Greg Johnson is currently working on a new Sony exclusive, though it's unclear whether that exclusive will appear on PS3, Vita, or both, or maybe Orbis. Little else is currently known about the project. Just an interesting little story. I wonder what it is.
The old tidbit, a morsel. At the end of the tunnel.
Number four, ailing publisher THQ has delayed Darksiders 2. Originally set to come out in late June, THQ is now aiming to release the game in August. Developer Vigil Games apparently needs more time to polish the
will
product.
Will THQ be around by then?
I'm sure they would, or they would just put the game out. Because that game's still going to sell.
Now.
You know, no, I mean, like, I think if THQ was in a lot of trouble, they'd be like, I don't really care. We can patch it. Like, the game needs to go out now. So I think that maybe THQ is in better shape than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we didn't write about it, and it wasn't, like, I guess, substantial, because they never said Homefront 2 wasn't in development, but someone from THQ, like one of the head honchos there, went to Crytek to see Homefront 2, which means that game is still in development. And I am very excited about what that studio is going to do, and I'm kind of hoping that we see it at E3. Mm-hmm. But maybe we probably won't, because I don't think the game's even due to come out until 2014. Number five. A new James Bond game is coming. It's called 007 Legends and is currently being developed by GoldenEye 007 Reloaded developer Eurocom. So that's cool. It's due out this fall.
What a whole bunch of different games. They're trying to link them all together.
Yeah,
I saw that. That was too complicated, though. Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
Thought that was interesting.
Number six. Even though it's fairly obvious at this point that Dead Space 3 exists, more evidence has been revealed that points to it being on the horizon. BT Games, the infamous South African games retailer that has been the leaky source of many game reveals, including God of War Ascension, is currently accepting pre-orders for the game.
They also had up Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, I think it was.
That already exists.
or Nintendo.
they were selling
a game that came out a year and a half ago.
It was Most Wanted 2. I don't play Need for Speed games.
I don't know anything about Most
Something
Wanted
Need for Speed with a 2 at the end of it, which is also available for pre-order.
Which will sell better than if they just said tires.
That's true. Need for Speed tires.
Just call it
Need
tires.
For Tires.
Just tires.
Yeah.
That's it.
That'd be great. You just follow like a pit crew guy fixing cars.
Number 7, Ni No Kuni hasn't even come out in the West yet, and already developer Level 5 is talking about a sequel. Akihiro Hino, CEO of the famous Japanese developer, revealed that Western sales will dictate whether Ni No Kuni gets a sequel or not. And this is what's interesting. He says, he notes that even though Ni No Kuni didn't do great in Japan, its fortunes in the West could change everything. His example was that Level 5 PS2 RPG Dark Cloud, which is fucking awesome, sold only 120,000 units in Japan, but sold well over 1 million worldwide. And that's what prompted the sequel. So I think Ni No Kuni can actually do pretty well, because I think people were surprised. I think it only sold like 75,000 copies in its first week, which is like 20% of what I thought the game was going to sell.
Dark Cloud's the one where you walked around building the town and stuff, right? I like that one.
That game was great. Yeah. That's a great game. You do all sorts of things in that game. That's a really... Level 5's fucking awesome. They also do Professor Layton, which is probably the best DS series. Number 8. Sony has revealed a DVR device for PS3 in Japan called Nasne. I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know for sure. The device will allow recording of terrestrial and satellite television onto a hard drive that's half a terabyte in size. If used in conjunction with a program called Torrent, you can actually stream stuff from Nasne to Vita and other Sony devices. It's worth noting that Play TV, a Sony device that could do similar stuff, was released in Europe in 2008.
It never came here.
Nope. Nasne is, and I see my European friends on PSN using it still. Nasne is coming to Japan on July 19th. That would be fucking awesome.
If you stream your TV, yeah.
Well, just because that hard drive's huge. Like, we use Comcast at home. I have, like, an old box. I can literally always put, like, 50 hours worth of shit on my box. Imagine if you could just record anything you want, and this has, you can do 4 channels at a time with this, which is fucking cool.
I mean, it's really interesting, because all these rumors we hear about Durango and Orbis and everything seems to be pointing at, like, these new systems next gen are going to be, like, entertainment hubs, and you'll have TV and DVR functionality and all the shit that's been rumored, and, like, I love stuff like that. I hope this is, like, a feature we'll
totally
see.
Totally, yeah. I mean, that was the big push, you figure, this generation. Is, remember when they introduced PlayStation 3, they would talk about how it was going to be the entertainment hub of your living room. And it is getting there now with all the apps, right? But they were banking on, you'll put your digital photos on it and your music on it and play your games on it and watch Blu-rays. And now it's like, I want to fucking watch Hulu on it. I want to get, you know, Colin's doing NHL, NFL ticket. That's what they're doing, and that's what, like, I think the real race now, outside of software, is for them. Microsoft and Sony is trying to figure out who can get that system out there to the normal people to say, oh, well, honey, we can do this, and it has Netflix, and it has that, and it has...
Speaking of the NHL, I just want to give a shout-out to my hockey-loving friend, especially up in the Great White North, that these NHL playoffs have been fantastic, even if the Islanders aren't in them. And I know everyone out there is enjoying them. We've been talking on Twitter a great deal about the NHL playoffs. I've been forcing Greg to watch some of it with me. Awesome borderline violent NHL playoffs, the likes of which I've not seen, I don't think, in my life, as far as the amount of fights, misconducts, suspensions. It's just the nasty shit out there, and I think a lot of it has to do with the particular matchups, but I wanted to give a shout out to all my hockey loving friends out
real quick. We're recording the afternoon again after an up at noon. It didn't make the questions, but a kid did write in asking who you want to win the Stanley Cup. Who are you pulling for?
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't want the Rangers to win. Of course. Anyone that beats the Rangers is my friend. But and right now the Senators are tied 2-2 with the Rangers in that series. But I think if I had to pull for a team, it would be the Nashville Predators. Okay. Just because they haven't really done anything in the playoffs. Pekka is their goalie, and he's fucking awesome. And he probably deserves a Vezina trophy, which is for the best goaltender.
Gotcha.
Even though I think Lundqvist on the Rangers will win it.
That was the best part of NHL 94, is when you'd end the season and they would do the little award show, and they'd be like... clapping, and they would put up who's nominated, and your team would be nominated for something.
Did you see the Twitter picture?
You came home drunk and made me look at it.
Yeah. I went to an old college buddies of mine to watch the Rangers Senators game. He's a Rangers fan. And we ate dinner and stuff, and then he was like, before you go, you want to play Genesis or whatever? I'm like, all right. So we broke out. It was actually NHL 96, the one with John Van Beesbrook on the cover. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's 97, actually. When the Panthers were good, we were talking about that not too long ago. And it was just a lot of fun. I was playing as the Islanders. He was playing as the Rangers. It was the Fish Sticks logo, which I know a lot of hockey fans out there would know that disastrous 1 year when we had the Gorton Fisherman as our logo. Fucking horrendous. I still have an awesome t-shirt, and I was telling you it's signed by Rich Pilon that has that logo, which is kind of cool. A little vintage. Okay. Number 9. Crytek and EA have officially revealed Crysis 3.
It's set
to come out in 2013. Will take place in New York City.
New York City.
But it's get the rope it's in New York City as a jungle.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, cool.
Bow and arrow, and it's all crazy.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the Crysis games.
I tried to play 2, and I was like, I'm done.
The first one's supposed to be better, from what I understand. It's like kind of Far Cry-ish.
You're on the PSN right now?
Yes, I think it's only $20. Number 10. Sony purchases six-page advertisement, if you're British, in famous Japanese gaming magazine Famitsu to tease a new PS Vita exclusive called Soul Sacrifice. Speculation suggests that this game could somehow be related to Sony's fully owned Demon's Souls license, though whether it is or not remains to be seen. The developer is also unknown, though it looks likely Sony will be publishing the game itself. An official reveal is set for May 10th in Japan. We made a video about that, wrote about it a bit.
I filmed it. I made the video. You sat there just fucking talking.
Yep. My, you know, I'm wrong sometimes, but I feel like
infallible Moriarty.
Yeah, that's what they call me. but I feel like a 6-page advertisement in Famitsu is pretty indicative of the game being something substantial.
This has been your whole line of reasoning. Yeah. People have been coming up to you and going, "I don't understand why you think it's Dark Souls related or whatever, Demon Souls." And you say this, and it makes sense. It does make. I mean, advertising in a magazine, I imagine, isn't cheap.
Six pages.
Yeah.
It's not like it's just like a half a page or one page, 6 pages.
You don't think they do that for a new IP?
No, I don't. I mean,
it would still be a new IP, right? It would just be tied into that universe.
Here's my entire theory, and I could be dead wrong about this, and I wouldn't be surprised if I was, but it is a new Demon's Souls kind of game, but From Software is not developing it. SEEJ is developing it. Okay. And so
it'll never come out.
Yeah, it'll be out in 2015.
Yeah, Santa Monica will end up fixing it.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Gravity Rush came out, and you know, some other stuff out of SEEJ. It's really Team Eco.
We're just giving them shit. They're over there laughing it up, though, and they don't care.
They're laughing up their money and
riding unicycles, making games, listening to Beyond.
But I mean, it could be a new game. There's a few things. I mean, first of all, would Sony use the name Soul? Everyone knows that they own Demon's Souls. So would they just use the name? The name Soul is not uncommon in Japanese video games at all.
Yeah,
but. I don't know. It just seems to me like a 6-page advertisement in the most famous gaming magazine in the world to show off a new game that has nothing to do with anything, but it's a Vita game and no one's buying the Vita. So you're just going to put this game out. To me, that doesn't add up. I don't know. That's the reason why I think it's a Demon's Souls game. But maybe it's not. I mean, I don't know.
I understand.
We'll find out on the 10th of May. And maybe probably before then because everything leaks. Number 11, the producer of Lumines Electronic Symphony, James Milkey,
formerly of 1UP,
yep, had something interesting to say about PS Vita development in Japan that should make Vita owners feel a little bit better. Quote, "The only thing that is going to hold Sony back from succeeding with the Vita is having the right game. And one of those benefits of working on the developer side in Japan is I know for a fact that they've got some games that when they announce them, people are going to forget about all of the problems that they're imagining with Vita. This could be one of them, by the way. Soul Sacrifice.
Yeah, there's a Dark Souls game on the go. Yeah, yeah. Caleb Lawson would freak out.
I think a lot of people would freak out. I think that game doesn't have incredible pull in Japan. I mean, it does really well, probably 500,000 or something like that. But that's a substantial game in Europe and North America.
Oh, yeah,
I think that hardcore people will pick up the Vita in no time, and then go back and buy the other games. And so I think that's about as good as you can get, unless it's like Monster Hunter or like Grand Theft Auto or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I really want a big open world and/or Western RPG on the Vita.
Yeah.
That's what I really want. Like, I have this Gaia, and I've been tinkering around with it, and I enjoy it. It's just not, like, exactly what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be there. All I want to do is play Reckoning. So I'd like to have Reckoning on the go. Or push Reckoning back and forth, as they say. They don't say that.
Push it back and forth?
Yeah. Okay. You know what I mean, though?
That's what I
Transfaring, think. I believe, this is the social media term.
I like it.
Invented by Inafune. Is that the Rover Report? Is that it?
What are you playing?
No, there's one more.
It's a flash drive. Oh. A Citibank flash drive.
Okay.
Number 12. Sony
has a song
has...
on it.
Oh, sorry. Are you done?
Yeah.
I wasn't done, but it's fine.
You're done.
I'm done.
Number 12. One Sony has revealed three new apps for the PS Vita. Paint Park, a paint program, is already out. Treasure Park, a make-your-own puzzle game, will come this summer. And Wake Up Club, a strange interactive alarm clock application, will also come out this summer. The word on Wake Up Club is that it has trophies.
I know it does. That's what I'm so excited for. We were talking about this.
Real weird.
Because you set your alarm, and then like you can see other people who are setting their alarm for that same time, and then it's a race to see who turns it off fastest.
Is that real?
That is awesome.
That's incredible. I'm disappointed they didn't complete their park trilogy, so that's
maybe
it's only two, right?
They're teasing you. Well, Welcome Park started.
Well, then my terrible joke is even worse.
I'm glad there's trophies in a free app, by the way.
Yeah, that's always
good. It's good.
Yeah, unlike Montezuma Blitz, your phone just vibrated. I might have hit a button.
No, I probably got an email. It's fine.
No, no one emails you.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it. Rover Report's done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Goldfarb, what do you say? You and I go down to the bank. We take out a nice Buffalo nickel, and we go down to the Grop and Mop shop and get some games. But where would we find out?
You're asking me? Or is this? Can I take this away from Colin?
Well, you just blurted into it, so yeah.
Okay. The official list of upcoming software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
PlayStation software. But yes, that's good. Boop, boop, there's a Vita game this week. Can you believe
that?
Disgaea 3.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out. Have it on my Vita. Played it a little bit. Not really what I'm looking for, to be honest.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. Good game. Damon Hatfield loved it.
Yeah, it's a good
game. What you're looking for, yeah.
I love strategy RPGs, turn-based strategy RPGs too, but that's not... it's not what I want. It's not what I
it's
want.
It's cute. You got the printies running around. They're talking.
Yeah, it's the dude thing. It makes me want to stab myself. I don't like how you have to make all your moves, then take your turn.
You know, a good Valkyria Chronicles too. I'd love that too.
I would love Final Fantasy Tactics too, or a new Tactics Ogre. Those are the kinds of games.
Tactics Ogre would be good too.
That would be fun.
And on PS3, Deadliest Warrior Ancient Combat, which I think is a disc release of the two Deadliest Warriors games on PSN.
Gotcha.
So that's probably a discount game.
Interesting.
That's it.
All right, let's go to the digital storefront. This used to be something Ryan Clements did, but remember, everybody, he's dead to us.
Yep.
So feel free to tweet him at Pwam Cider and say, thanks for abandoning Podcast Beyond. We hate you. You suck. Or some kind of.
You're going to make him cry.
All right, don't do that. But you can tweet him and say you miss him. But don't make it sound like you really miss him. Just, you know, give him the little...
Yeah, just tell him what he wants to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Poke him with a stick.
Make him cry. Do option one.
All right, so we got some PSN games. Dead Rising 2 off the record, $20.
Ugh.
NHL 12, $60. The House of the Dead 4, $10. Vita games, Disgaea, $40. Star Drone Extreme, $4. You know, now Colin, you're playing it.
Yep.
This is a game we had gotten on PS3 a while back.
Yeah, not impressed.
We put it in, and we're like, this is pretty mediocre. We're not going to bother reviewing this.
Yeah, I think I'll review Star Drone Extreme, though. It's made for a touchscreen. You don't use the buttons at all, and I think... It's actually a pretty cool game. It's cheap, like you said.
Yeah, that's what's funny, right? Is that that's the price of a mini. How many $4 minis are there? And this has trophies, I'm guessing,
right? Yeah.
This is a real game.
And they're understanding. They're finally starting to get it. Yeah, the game's good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's like something you'd play on iPad. I'm sure there's a million games on iOS that play like this. Well, you like have to use your finger to like make gravity wells to like... You basically have this thing that has momentum and you have to like control it. That's
via the gravities.
I would love to see more PSN games coming out at that price because that's like just about impulse buy territory.
Totally, right.
Maybe a dollar cheaper would be perfect.
You know, I felt that way even about World Gone Sour that came out last week. It's like it's $5. Like that's really like you can either go get a value meal or something at Wendy's or McDonald's or something or buy this game. They're getting it.
Get half a cup of coffee at Ironside.
Yeah. Or a cup of soup at San Francisco Soup Company on 2nd and Minna.
You're pushing trying. For this? This is your new push? All right. I like it. I like that. You stay away from cheese, everything will be all right. No PSP games, no minis. However, PlayStation Plus perks have rolled in. The most notable, Frogger Returns for free. Not a great game, but easy trophies.
Mm.
Good.
Yeah, really good.
Mother effing trophies.
I think it's just like 4 gold trophies in like the matter of 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of dumb DLC, but there is a demo for Star Drone Extreme on Vita. Let's go get that. No discounts. End. Oh. Story.
House of Dead 4 is discounted for Plus subscribers, I think. Mm-hmm. We won't be reviewing that, though.
No. It's House of the Dead 4. You like House of the Dead? There you go. You're done.
Good review.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It's actually called House of the Dead Ascension.
Man. In the open net, we pulled the goalie for the extra man to try to get the score.
What hockey reference.
Yeah,
I
you
like that.
That's what I'm learning. Good. I'm learning from you. How about this?
How about it?
How about an old trophy tip?
Ooh.
Just the tip. We haven't done a trophy tip in a long time.
Just the
I'm looking for the email here. Oh, here we go.
Mind if not whispering it?
No.
Now, this is weird. A guy wrote in, and his email name was Gmail. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't gmail@gmail.com, but his name was Gmail.
Was it like backwards? It was like gmail@bobsmith.com.
No, I didn't even try. Gmail writes in, though, and he says, hey, guys, I was wondering what Greg thinks of Prototypes 2 so far, and if it's worth a buy. Thanks and beyond. Beyond, of course. I can't tell you what I think of Prototype. Prototype 2, I have played. I have beaten twice. I have a platinum trophy in it. You all know how I
Really?
Yeah.
You hid that from me.
Nope.
Yeah.
Tweeted it out.
I don't read your Twitter, so you have to let me know these things verbally.
Tweeted it. Or I mean, blogged it. That's still not what I mean. Platinumed it.
I platinumed it. Everything's
thing.
Done.
Same thing. In two playthroughs.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Longtime listeners of the podcast know my kind of game and what's going on and how I trophy hunt. So there you go. The review goes up Tuesday, next Tuesday, whatever that is, 20-something or other.
The day the game comes out?
Yeah, the day the game comes out.
Okay.
You know what that means, usually.
Yep.
All right. There we go.
24th.
Yeah. A lot of quietness here. But you know what I'm saying. I can't tell you everything. Can't tell you anything, actually. But I got a platinum in it. So for trophy tips, pretty good trophy game, I can tell you off the top of my head.
Just the tip.
Just the tip on when the review's coming, too, dude.
Speaking of trophy, I didn't write about this, actually. We recorded a video preview for Burning Skies, Resistance game on Vita.
That should be up, hopefully.
Yeah, today, I think. One of the things I noticed is I was very wily, and I just exited the game Dr. Wily, that's right. And when Sony handed me the Vita, I just like exited the game and went to the trophy list, and I saw the trophies for Gravity Rush and Burning Skies. But the Burning Skies trophy is very acceptable, I think one would say. A few hidden trophies, probably for difficulty.
They're not the crazy ones that you usually get out of these.
No, 10,000 kills. And Resistance 3, I love that game, but those trophies were... Like, you didn't get any trophies for beating anything. You had to, like, do all these special things. So, these, you get, like, a trophy for beating, like, chapters. You get trophies for finding stuff and intel and stuff like that. So,
gotcha.
That's going to be good. Plus, the game's pretty good. I could have kept playing, but I played it for, like, 45 minutes, the campaign. I didn't want to spoil it for myself. I'm not reviewing the game, so I didn't want to get too much further into it. So
gotcha.
I'll wait. We'll get it. We'll get it before it comes out, I'm sure, and I'll have to just be patient.
Colin.
Yeah.
Before we move into reader mail, mail call, as it is known and forever will be, I believe you wanted to have a little ceremony.
Yeah, I do.
I think now's about the time.
Okay. Well, tomorrow is April 20th, and it just so happens that April 20th, 2011, was the day the PlayStation Network went silent for all of that time. So thought it'd be appropriate if we just had let's have a moment of silence. Very good.
Okay. I was waiting to see who would break first. Of course, not to be outdone, Podcast Beyond fans, and they know that without being prompted, that this is the 1 year anniversary of the darkest day in PSN history. And they've written in with a few questions. And the first person who did it was Justin Doss. Justin writes in and says, this month marks the 1 year anniversary of the PSN network going down and getting hacked. I just wanted to know if you guys have any reflections or thoughts on the matter. To me, this is when I came a much more vigilant consumer, watching my bill statements carefully, making sure my passwords were different from sites that requested a password. Also, I decided I would never give my credit card information to Sony again. I buy PSN cards now. Now that 1 year has passed by, do you think Sony has recovered from their blunder of not being forthcoming to the public? Any thoughts on the matter are appreciated. Kind regards, Justin Doss. So, Colin, you start first. You got any reflections here for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think, this actually might not be a bad article to write tomorrow, but I think that we learned something about Sony, which is that they're not this infallible mega corporation.
They're not infallible Moriarty.
No, they got owned by hackers to the point where like the network was destroyed. I mean, that's the thing I'm always amazed about is we went weeks and weeks without the PlayStation Network. Like it just was not in existence. And I remember I stopped playing PS3 completely out of protest because I was like, this is bullshit. Like, how does something like this happen to a company like this? And why doesn't it happen to Microsoft, you know, or like another company? I'm not saying it should and it shouldn't happen to anyone. I'm just saying, like, what is it about those companies and their security and the vigilance that they have that makes Sony like such an easy target to the point where like it was just over? And say what you will, like, and I know a lot of people are mad at me about this, like, Sony knew what happened and they didn't say anything about it for a few days. And I think that that's unacceptable.
Agreed.
And they said that they wanted to, you know, wait and see. And remember, we talked about Toshio Yoshida about it at E3 and stuff like that. And I understand their approach, the very meticulous approach of making sure you don't want to say anything that's not true or whatever. But I think erring on the side of caution for Sony in the future, if something like this, God forbid, were to happen again, is to say, like, this could have happened immediately again. Because, you know, I think a lot of people lost faith in Sony, at least temporarily, over what happened. I don't really blame them. I mean, it's not only about, like, the experience being lost of PlayStation Network and playing with your friends and seeing what everyone's playing. It's a matter of, like, you know, this company owes you more, and as a consumer and as a hardcore consumer, many of us have been there since 95, 96, so as a PlayStation consumer. So that's kind of what I reflect upon, and I go back and read those articles sometimes that I wrote, man, because the one thing that bothers me is, like, when you and I write something, Greg, is, and not you, Goldfarb, because you're kind of, you know, you're not partisan as
Jack of all trades, you know, Andrew Goldfarb.
Do what I can.
You're not, like, in this partisan group where you write about something specifically. Is that, like, everyone's like, oh, you guys are PlayStation fanboys, whatever. It's like, yeah, read about what I wrote about the PlayStation Network in April and May and tell me how much of a PlayStation fanboy
I am. Then you climb into your PlayStation boat and
drive. And then I drove into my PlayStation yacht. But I mean, like, people are short-sighted if they haven't been reading me for so very long if they think that, because, man, I, like, eviscerated Sony for a long time.
I think that's ultimately what I remember, is just, like, you know, when it went down, it was a wreck, and they didn't say anything, but it just kept getting worse and worse. Yeah. Like, I mean, that was the amazing thing. It was, like, every day something else would come out, and you were like, oh, my God. Like, and then, like, their, like, movie side got hacked. Like, it wasn't even just Sony games anymore. It was, like, every part of Sony. Like, what a mess. Yeah, that whole thing was, like, unbelievable to watch unfold.
It was sad times.
What do you
I always remember the podcast. When it came back. When the PlayStation Network came back and Colin and I came into the office on a Saturday night and drank beer and did a podcast where we called you guys. And it was the birth of...
Oh, what? What was
the date on that?
That would have been... It was before May, you, right before you three. Whatever.
It was right? May 30th, I think, when I came back, right? Like right before you
something three. Like that, yeah.
Because I won the bet. That's the thing I won the bet.
Yeah, I remember. I thought it was Migs, but it was Migs would have won if it had been like the one more day.
Yeah, I selected a day. We did a pool. We wrote about it, so it wasn't a secret.
You can go IGN Superbet.
We wrote a pool where we each picked a day, and it was like Price is Right rules. So I actually picked a day where it had like someone picked it right after me, so it had to be that day that it came back, and it did come back that day.
Yeah. You got some fat stacks of cash.
I won like $120. Yeah, that's
good work.
Bad.
That's good work. You immediately put it in the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, I immediately just bought PlayStation Network points. Well, not points, money.
Do you worry about your credit card? Are you like Justin here?
I use my corporate Amex in there now, so you know they can steal that if they want. Just because American Express is very vigilant. It's not like my debit card where it's like attached to my bank account. Like I don't really care. Like you know, Amex is very good about. They'll call you or like they understand.
There's been odd charges.
Like I just use my credit card.
Yeah, I use.
I know a lot of people are like only using. They'll only like buy PSN cards or whatever. But no,
I would do that if Sony made it easier. You have to when you buy an Xbox points online, you get the code and you put it right in your system.
Does Amazon not do that anymore?
I don't. I think Amazon might have done it with PSN at one time, but they don't do it anymore. You have to like get the card shipped to you. You know, it's what the fuck. Awful. You know, like, that's so illogical.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you guys doing? You know how much money they would make if they, like, again, an obvious business decision that they should make.
Yeah,
it's really nice, too. Like, I wanted to play Fez last week, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm out of points. And I just immediately bought points on Amazon, had a code, put it in, bought Fez, took 10 seconds.
Taking a step further, why can't you just go on Sony's website or on whatever device on your iPad or whatever and just buy the game and send it to your PlayStation or send it to your Vita?
Yeah, that'd be really nice. So like Microsoft does.
I mean, that would probably exponentially raise sales of games because people would be like, oh, it's so easy.
It's easy. Like, I read about this and like we could link to it at the bottom of articles if we wanted to. This is a great game. You should buy it. And you go there and you download it. And not only that, if you could turn your PlayStation on and start downloading it so you could come home and have it ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. That would require a firmware update, the likes of which you've never seen before.
You'd be surprised some of the firmware updates I've lived through, Moriarty. Our good friend MDog 2438 writes in. Mitchell Morgan, of course. He says, hey guys, April 20th, 2012 is the 1 year anniversary of the great PSN outage that lasted for nearly an entire month. My question for you is, has Sony done enough in the past year to regain your trust? Thanks, MDog.
Yes and no. I mean, yeah. I'll never forget that happened.
Yeah.
What's so interesting about it, I mean, just as a person who's just interested in the industry and interested in tech and stuff like that, that's almost an unprecedented thing to happen to anyone, any company. The fact that it happened in our industry to the company we cover, to the platform we love, makes it even more memorable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't lose trust in me where I was like, I'm never going to buy a PSN game again because I went right on there. I think Outland, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, it came out during.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to buy this game. But I won't forget that happened.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it's so much trust issue. I don't think about it every time I buy something off the PSN. But I'm in the same boat. It's just like I'm not worried about it. My bank knows what's happening. And like also, you know, it was one of the things where so much of your personal data was lost. Maybe your credit card too. And there was no thousands of people writing in saying my credit card was lost and yada yada yada. You know what I mean? It was a worst case scenario that didn't come true.
Yeah, weren't there ultimately no reported incidents of anyone actually having their card stolen?
Hard to say that. I mean, I don't want to go on the record of saying that, but I know that in the people reporting to us and talking to us, yes, that's pretty much the case.
But wasn't the case that it wasn't even that credit card loss information was lost? Like a lot of this stuff wasn't encrypted. Wasn't that like the big thing?
Yeah, your credit card stuff wasn't encrypted.
None of this is encrypted. Yeah. It's like what?
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, like it's just like it was just mind boggling.
It's amazing to me. Like what I think of is, Steam got hacked in like the fall of 2011, and like Valve was so good about it. They issued a statement immediately that every single person who logged into Steam saw. Like first thing when they logged in, like they kept people updated. They issued like a press release right after. It was just like, you know, goofus and gallant between like the way to handle something like this and the way not to.
Real quick side story of the Valve one that I enjoyed so much, because they sent out and they said in their email, change your password right away.
Yeah.
And Veronica Belmont tweeted, you know, I'm trying to change my Valve password and it's not accepting my original password. This is bad. And somebody responded back to her and they were like, You know that Steam got hacked, right? And she responds back in all caps, why do you think I'm trying to change my password?
I guess the funny that, like, just the mental images, I think we even joked about it, like, personally. It's like, I just loved thinking about, like, Ken Kutaragi, like, running into, like, the server room in Tokyo and, like, just pulling the plug out. What do we do?
He's in his nightcap and he's got the little candle on the thing he's running in.
Katsurai, like, just storms into the, runs into the building, just pulling all the plugs out of the
They're
wall.
All in their pajamas and flip-flops. All right. Let's go on to happier news. God of War.
Yay. Yeah.
Ascension. Real.
Yeah.
It's God of War 4.
Oh, fucking Christ.
Anyways, Wrangler writes into beyond@IGN.com, just like you can, why are video game reveals such a big deal? I understand waiting until E3, but waiting until a certain day like God of War Ascension doesn't make any sense in my opinion. Who cares if it's leaked a day or two? Why didn't they just release it last week with a photo? Nobody had the drop then.
Well, because you're building hype. It's like, yeah, you're getting people excited and you're like, come back to our page at this time and this date, and then people are going to come back, and you know you're going to have them all at once and get your biggest possible. Because, like, actual, like, Facebook and Twitter engagement on these pages, it's like, you know, if you have 100,000 followers, like, maybe at any given time, like, 5,000 at best are going to actually see what you're doing, unless you say come back at this specific time, and then you're getting a way bigger number.
It's the same reason, yeah, IGN does live streams and says, come watch this then, or, you know, I mean, we get you in the habit of every Thursday there's a Beyond, so that you get it into your daily regimen, or, like, just any TV show, right? Like, you know that when there's a sports game on, you know when to watch for it, and you know when to be a part of it. And it gets people talking. I mean, you know, this went up last week, and since then, it's been... there's been articles on IGN out the ass. There's been videos between me and Colin talking about it. There's been Beyond. There's been all this stuff. It's a way to make sure your message is out there too, right?
Yeah, and it makes an event out of it. Like, I mean, if they wait till E3, like 100 games get announced at E3, it's going to get buried. People are going to talk about it, you know, for a little bit, but then the next big thing happens.
Yeah, you get, like, the mind share of the industry.
Exactly. Like, right now, everyone today, the biggest story was God of War. Like, that's what everyone was talking about.
Yeah, totally.
Spontaneity and unpredictability are, like, the bane of marketing and PR existence anyway. I mean, they want to control everything. So, and it's because their product. So it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not that surprising. The one thing I will say that I think is kind of cool is that, you know, we're getting close to E3. We're like 40 days away.
Yeah.
I think Monday, June 4th or something like that is when Greg and I will be at the Sony press conference.
They do have tables again.
Thank God. That was so good last year. If they're revealing God of War now, then imagine what the fuck they're going to reveal.
Mech Warrior.
Just to get it out of the way. Like, they're getting it out of the way. They could have waited 40 more days and been like, oh, here's God of War. But, like, imagine why they're getting it out of the way now. That's what's most exciting about it. It's like, these guys, I think, have some games to talk about. And I suspect that it's going to be... Well, I've been saying, I think we're going to see Infamous 3. I don't know.
Buddy.
I think it'll be on Vita 2. So I don't know.
Vita 2?
Vita, comma, TO.
After the roaring success of Vita, we've announced Vita 2. There's no memory cards at all.
Don't even give it
a
year.
You have to buy digital memory from the cloud.
$599.
US dollars. I get excited about things like this. Like, when Sony's starting to knock out, like, announcements before E3, it's like, well, you're making room now. And that's what's exciting.
We've already told you about God of War Ascension, and you've seen it here tonight. But let's talk about our other
Maybe God of War on Vita will be there. Yeah. And maybe they're trying to separate the two so that it's not like God of War.
Mm.
Sorcery 2.
Let's play Sorcery 1 first.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. Twitter was cracking me up about this God of War stuff last night. Actually, it's more cracking me up in retrospect because I was incredibly angry last night when all this happened. And I tweeted, after it was all said and done and everything was finally live and my laundry was done, I tweeted, like, you know, as much as the God of War Ascension announcement leak effed up my plans tonight, it was nice to talk to Jim Riley again, because me and Jim were going back and forth about what we needed to do about trailers and whatever and yada, yada, yada. And a bunch of people tweeted at me, and they were like, why would you be upset about this? Like, why would this F up your night? It's like, kids, the news doesn't write itself. The videos don't publish themselves.
Like,
the page. I wanted to go home last night, do my laundry, and play Reckoning. And instead, I'm like on the phone to Sony, asking them what the hell to do. I'm tweeting people. I am people. I'm trying to coordinate Goldfarb and Clements and Damon on what their video is to do and all this other stuff.
We were at the bar and we walked all the way back to the office, and then all the way. It was funny because so it was Mitch, Damon, Clements, and I. We're at the bar. This all happened. We saw it on Twitter. We contacted you. We walked back to the office, and then Mitch left, but we picked up Ben Dickens, and we walked back. So we traded.
Nice job.
It was good.
You walked all the way to Rick House, and then walked back?
We walked from the office to Super Duper to Rick House, back to the office, back to Rick House, and then I walked home.
You guys are troopers.
So Wednesday night, sorted out.
Julian writes in to beyond@IGN.com, just like you can.
Julia.
Julian.
Oh, okay, Julian.
Gullian.
Hey, chaps. As God of War Ascension seems to occur pre-Ghost of Sparta, do you think he might not be so freaking angry? Although, it could be down to blatant steroid abuse.
I hope they hire a different voice actor who's like really happy and peppy. That'll be good.
I think he'll still be angry. I think he's still going to be really angry.
I hope that this story adds some depth to the character.
You'd like that,
yeah,
right?
That would be
his
really nice.
His wife hopefully isn't dead yet. Well, so exactly. Maybe
that's
we see why
say,
he's
like,
doing things.
How much of a prequel is it? Like, because you were saying the other day, like if it's, you know, after family's dead, but before he's like really gone his rampage or whatever, and it's like explaining the beginning of that, that's less interesting to me than seeing him like before he kills
I think
his
it's
family.
Before he kills his family, because if he was doing that, then it would be Chains of Olympus, right?
Right,
and then he was already serving the gods. We'd already he'd already, because the thing says it's before the Ghost of Sparta, meaning it's before he kills his family and gets the ashes put on his
skin. Is Chains of Olympus before between one and two or before?
No, Chains of Olympus is before one, then it, so it goes Chains of Olympus one, Ghost of Sparta two,
three.
Yeah.
And okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They show him
Betrayal's
killing
in there somewhere too. I don't know. Where,
I thought Betrayal
where
wasn't canon though. I thought.
I thought it was.
I thought it wasn't, but I can't. I could be wrong. Also, who that killer? It was like a, what was that? That was like that.
It was like
iOS one or whatever.
No, Facebook. It wasn't.
No, I take it back. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Java flip phones, man.
Yeah, it was like some Java game.
9 out of 10, Levi Buchanan.
Levi news no, games. Yeah, well, it sounds like you make fun of Levi, and
I
stand
for
like,
I met Levi during GDC. I like him.
Get out.
I missed my chance. No, I think.
You know about that, right? Chain of Olympus. Then. Yeah.
I thought Ghost of Sparta was first. Wasn't it?
Chains of Olympus was the first game out the gate.
Yeah, but I, in the timeline, I'm saying Ghost of Sparta.
Yeah,
I thought was first.
I'm confused. I'm doubting myself as
Who
now.
Cares?
Anyway, in the teaser for Ascension, you see him killing his wife, right? So that would mean
what you think he is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I would assume that happened in the game.
No, but they're saying you're saying that would happen in the game.
Yeah.
I doubt, but I mean, I doubt it. They're showing Medusa and they're showing Cerberus and they're showing everything else too.
Right, but I mean, it could happen. It could start with him before it happened sometime early on.
Google, this is going to drive me crazy. Google the timeline of God of War.
By the way, I was just thinking about, you know, we made a God of War video like last week, and you were talking about how Kratos gets drunk and kills his family.
Yeah,
and some people were legitimately getting mad, be like, "Where to fucking spoil the game?" It's like, yeah, Kratos gets drunk and kills his family, and that's why he turns into the Ghost of Sparta. Very good. Oh, it's so good. Such a clearly a fake spoiler.
When you find it, we need to lock in all our right, final guesses
I'm looking,
here.
I'm looking.
Because it's making me think. I still want to say Chains of Olympus 1. Chains of Olympus 1, Ghost of Sparta 2, 3. I'm not worried about Patrol.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Drum roll, please, Colin.
No, that didn't work. Hold on. We're into Wikipedia now. It's going to be a long drum roll.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll do another question. How about that?
Okay, how about that?
Peter has a bet for us about things we've been talking about here.
Okay.
Peter writes into beyond@ign.com. I predict that God of War Ascension will have no screaming or rage. I'm willing to bet a large cheese pizza on it. Your guys' choice of toppings.
Get out
of
here.
I guess what I'll I'm really saying is that I want to buy you guys a pizza someday. The bet stands when it's read on the podcast, Peter. There you go, Peter.
Yeah, I'll take that bet.
What do we want to get on this pizza?
Sausage and onions. And peppers.
No peppers. Come on now.
You love peppers.
I don't like peppers. You've brought me around to onions on pizza. Can't you just be happy with that?
Yeah, I am happy about that. Okay. You were so anti-onion. Such a blunder to me.
I brought you around to Portillo.
I like the dog or the
dog.
Hot dog?
You haven't eaten that. Oh, I guess you have eaten that.
I've eaten the hot dog like 3 times now.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
All right. Still looking there?
Okay. So according to this random game facts thread, it's Chains of Olympus, God of War, Ghost of Sparta,
right,
2 and 3.
I could.
I was wrong.
Ah, no. We were all right.
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
Okay, whatever.
Okay,
it's all copacetic.
All right, let's get to real questions. Beyond. King Brando. Quick fire questions. He's going to say Ryan. That doesn't make any sense. You'll have to answer for Ryan, though, all right?
I'd love to.
Ryan, how's the new job going?
Really well.
All right. It's going so well, he's too busy for Podcast Beyond.
He's busy, and I talked to him today. Our backup plan, if he decides he doesn't like this job, is that we're going to start a place called Clements and Goldfarb's 3rd Street Falafel Joint. We're going to take over City Gourmet over on 3rd and Brennan.
Okay.
Just letting everybody know.
I'd eat there.
It's going to be good. We all know how to make falafel, but other than that, it'll be great.
That comes with the territory. You'll figure that out as you go. Colin, how many games do you own? Colin just shrugs.
I don't know, a lot. Over time, I mean, NES, SNES, hundreds and hundreds of games.
All right. Greg, what's the worst job you've ever worked? I worked at a pet store. That was the worst job.
Oh,
yeah,
you told me a funny story about the pet store, didn't you?
Which one? Where I dropped a puppy on my first day?
My God!
You get three
you
choices.
Monster.
I dropped a puppy.
Is it when you
almost
quit?
Almost had my eye bitten out by a bird, and then I told some people that they didn't look like they had money. In so many words.
Yeah.
I would watch a cartoon series about Greg Miller's adventures at the pet store.
Adventures in Petland, they'd call it.
How long did you work there?
I worked there just for a summer.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it was totally just a summer job kind of thing.
What about you? What was your worst job?
I didn't really have any bad jobs, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked landscaping for a long time. That was, instructive for me, about how hard people have to work for money, you know?
Yeah.
Like, physical labor is not easy. I worked at a deli a couple years in high school. That was fun. Ate a lot.
Yeah.
Made egg sandwiches.
You cut the meat super thin.
Oh, got to cut the meat super thin. That's not just even... Melt that's
it.
Just a,
it's the way to melt do it. When it hit your
that's
mouth.
Just a given. You don't shave it. You have to cut it so thin that you can hold it up and see, like, right through it. That's the perfect boar's head.
What's
slice.
Shaving?
Shaving is, like, when you're getting so thin that it's, like, scraps, basically. Like, they really, like...
Okay.
In Massachusetts, they like doing that. They don't have quite the fine cut.
They don't want the cold cut.
No, they don't want the cold cut.
Okay.
But, yeah, I working at deli was cool. Yeah, so deli, landscaping, freelancing for IGN, and now being an editor, basically the four jobs I've ever had. Oh, wow. I worked at a stable for a summer, too.
You sold office island. Supplies?
No, I never sold office supplies. That's it.
Goldfarb, what's your worst job?
Worked at a mailbox, etc. for a little while before it was UPS store.
Okay.
It's really boring. I was an extra on movies and TV shows.
That's
for
a cool
years.
Job, though. I mean, I know it's mentally boring, but it's a cool job. That part, time we were all drunk at my house and we're watching movies and we were just like, let's just watch Goldfarb movies. And they were all my instant watch.
Parts of them were really cool. Parts of that job are awesome. But like I was telling Rich yesterday, like I worked on a show called Big Lake that Will Ferrell produced, and it was like I was a busboy for 6 weeks in the diner, and they used like real plates and real silverware and glasses, and I had to like clear tables and make no noise, couldn't make any noise because of all the mics. And if you like moved a glass and it clinked against silverware, they'd be like, cut, 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 the extra fucked it up, and we'd start all over it.
Oh, wow.
I'd go home and cry and cut myself.
Yeah,
and
that's, did you ever
would
think
you cry?
No, I was like very stressed out, but no, I don't think I ever
did you ever
actually
think, cried. Like, what, did you ever think about like patting your hands?
No, well, because it wasn't my hands. It was the.
No, this one, the glass hitting his fucking metal hand.
I'm just saying. It would make me more confident in what I was doing.
That's true.
You'd be even more clumsy, just dropping shit.
Also, and while we're talking about this, during next week's episode of Up at Noon, listen out for Nick Scarpino kicking over a can of Red Bull and ruining everything.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting. I think it'll have. If they use that part, yeah.
You'll definitely. Totally hear it.
Ol writes in for Colin Moriarty. He's coming to collect, son. Mm. A few weeks before Skyrim came out last year, Colin replied to my tweet asking if he promised to platinum Skyrim. He said it was a promise. This was, of course, before he knew about the bugs and technical issues with the PS3 version of the game. I don't know if Colin is a man of his words or not, but I wanted to let him know that I release him of his promise. But take this as a lesson to be more careful with promising this you might not fulfill in the future.
I am a man of my word. I suspect I'll still go back and platinum Skyrim at some point in my life. So the promise is...
it stands.
I haven't broken any promise.
It stands, yeah. Ol.
In fact, the promise stands until I die, because...
Just like me and Clements' bet about me blogging about every episode of Smallville. So far, I'm 2 in, and I've been doing this for 9 months or something.
You'll get there.
I'll get them. One day. Final question of the week comes from Brett at beyond.ign.com. That's where you should send questions.
That's his email address.
Shut
Brett at beyond. I love you. I love you so much.
Love you too. I've noticed your Apple shirt there. It's like it's like a
polo, but it's a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. But it's got like embroidered Apple. It's not like the it's not like a press-on logo.
I think they're not supposed to do this, but I'll just say it anyway. My best friend, former roommate, is an Apple genius and gives me all used to when I lived with him, like give me all his old shirts. And...
Apple genius, of course, is the corny name given to Apple Store employees that work on your things.
Isn't it different? Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what you're saying. Okay, you specified. Right. Yeah. Brett writes in, one of the things I loved about the DLC in Uncharted 2 was the way the trophies were outlaid in the DLC packs. It always kept me and my mates coming back to achieve the more difficult tasks. I assume that this would be the case in Uncharted 3, but it seems Naughty Dog has moved on from this. Do you guys have any insights as to why this is, and are there any more Uncharted 3 DLC packs on the way? Thanks, Brett. Yeah, I don't have any answers for you, Brett. But I wanted to tell you, I'm right there with you. One of the things I was very... I should crumple this up. I needed this.
The song is still on there, right?
One of the things I was excited for with Uncharted 3 is how much I loved the multiplayer this time around. I was ready for the DLC packs to have trophies to keep me coming back, and they didn't do that this time.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I don't understand. The rules don't make any sense with trophies. They really don't. What games get platinums, what games... So there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Well,
at all.
Now,
yeah,
this
it just
is something,
needs to be uniform.
Exactly. And this is something that we always talk about how PS3 and trophies are the, redhead stepchild here, and we get that. And they still are. Trophies especially. And this is something we didn't report on because it kind of happened off the grid. And like I'm saying, tweet stuff like this when you're upset about things so we can make matters and get in there and change things around. Kid who tweeted me about the online dynasty in NCAA, I have an answer. I haven't posted it yet, but there's an answer coming from EA. You just have to tell us what is happening. We'll try to help you out. Kid, I ran into a message board thread because I played the Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning DLC, the Pirate Kel. And I'm playing it, and I remember, oh yeah, I seen a strategize about achievement, and I watched that strategize again, and it's like, oh, I can't do it for a few more hours, so I forgot about it. And then I beat the DLC, and I was like, cool, here comes the trophy, and no trophy popped. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I went into the trophies, and there was no trophies for the game, for the DLC. And I was like, oh, that's really weird. And then I was like, wait a second, I saw a strategize, which is all about how to get this achievement. And so I Googled around, and sure enough, the Pirate of whatever, Dead Kel DLC didn't have trophies. And now, and the developer had posted in a thread about it on the Amalur board saying, yeah, Sony's weird about it. We weren't able to do them for DLC, which is bogus anyway. We all know you can do that. And since then now, they've added, they patched the game and did add trophies, but I can't get those trophies.
You have to go back.
Yeah. I can't even go back. Yeah, I can't re-kill the pirate.
That's annoying, man.
Really, yeah. Retroactive trophies should be there. Get it together. Valkyria sort Chronicles. It out.
Yeah, that's Valkyria
amazing. If Sega just patches Valkyria Chronicles, we'll save the company.
That's an interesting way to go. There's another game I was thinking about the other day that somebody that you could make so much money. Any, pretty much any game.
Fall Man.
Patch.
Yeah.
Marcus Smith hates money.
Before we move on to the song,
yeah.
I want to say people have been two things. People often ask me two questions, Greg.
Okay.
One, what's a really good book that I can read? Because I know I like to read the books.
And you say Walking Dead, Rise of the Governor. No. They say I'm reading that right now. It's good.
Room by Emma Donoghue.
Bible. Neither of those are the answers, though.
Okay.
The question. I burned through Walter Isaacson's Steve Jobs biography, and it's a must read. It's fucking excellent, and I recommend everyone buy it. I bought it on my iPad.
Yeah, you did.
The other thing is that people have been asking me, well, Colin, when are you going to do that next long-form studio history of piece? And the answer is it's written. It's in our back end right now, and it goes up tomorrow.
Friday. So if you're if you hear this on Monday, just go check out ps3.ign.com. It'll be there.
It is for Sony San Diego. And I think that you guys will quite enjoy it. So check it out.
I read it. It's a good one.
I think it was good, too.
I liked it a lot.
It's long.
So be ready for that. Remember, for everything PlayStation 3 related, you can get it at ps3.ign.com. Everything Vita related, vita.ign.com. You remember, be part of the conversation with us beyond at ign.com. Remember, follow on Twitter at IGN. I'm at GameOverGreggy. Colin's at NoTaxation. Include us both for news tips in case one of us is doing something. Goldfarb, you can include him too if you want. He is G A.
Greg always.
It's Greg always regrets fucking elderly people. So yep. It's Garfep.
Yep.
So there you go. That's what he is. G A R F E P.
But Garfep. He doesn't regret it.
I don't regret it. I've never regretted it once in my life.
He loves it.
Yeah. How do you think we get such a good rent at our place?
That's perverse. I like where this is going.
Oh, it's been a good show. Yeah, podcast me on every Thursday here on IGN.com. Come check us out. Rate us on iTunes. Remember, go to ps3.ign.com, vita.ign.com. Give us money. That's how it works. Like if you just download the free podcast, you're not helping me out at all. Throw me a bone and just go to ps3.ign.com so your little view clicks over. Buy a shirt. Go.ign.com/IGN store.
You can also go to sfsoupco.com for the full soup menu available at all four locations of San Francisco Soup Company.
Do they have a Twitter?
Yeah, they have like 100 followers. Tweet was retweeting me when I complimented
you're
them.
Crazy then. So tell what's the Twitter and tell all the Beyond kids to say, I heard...
Yeah, I heard Garfep loves SF Soup Co. Oh, yeah, okay. Yes. So it's SF, like San Francisco Soup Co. is their Twitter name.
There you go. And so tweet... SF Soup Co. : I heard Garfep or at Garfep obviously loves your soup on podcast.
Yeah, please do that. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. You'll get him free soup one day. As you know, we always like to end Podcast Beyond with a song. It's a tradition that's been here for 236 episodes. Today's song comes from Jack Wittich. He sent a song to beyond@ign.com just like you can. He sent it with a note. Here it is. Beyond. Hello, Greg, Colin, and whoever else is filling the void that Clements has left behind. Big fan of the podcast Beyond, as well as GameScoop and Knockin' Boots. Anyways, my band, As My Witness, which consists of two high school juniors and one senior, is about to release our first EP, and we recently got a copy of one of the final mixes of one of our songs, Tequila Mockingbird. Take a listen. Tell us what you think. And if you like it, could you possibly play it at the end of the new podcast Beyond? Thank you for your time. Keep up the great work. Check. I like it. We're going to play it. I played it on my speakers. Colin tried to guess what it was, thinking it was a real band. So good work.
Yeah, I thought it was like Phoenix TX or something. So
there you go. I have no idea who that is. But it's impressive that a real band. Okay.
Yeah.
Beyond.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Come inside, come upstairs, follow me to over there. Lock the windows and the doors, this is what we've been dying for. I will light the fires and breathe you in. It may be bad, but it's not a sin. And I want you to ease my pain, but I know you'll just cloud my brain. The world will be a better place as soon as you touch my face. But if they see us, what will they think? Surely my reputation will sink. And I want you to ease my pain, but I know you'll just cloud my brain. But you always have to mess with me. Our minds and our bodies can't upgrade. Tonight was fun, but I have to say, I won't see you after today. You always have to mess with me. Our minds and our bodies can't agree. Tonight was fun, but I have to say, I won't see you after today.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.